in the streaming world of what he believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
I thought you said you used it for storage. Oh, well, I do my knitting in there. I guess I left the light on. Oh, hurry up and get into your room. It's cold out here. You're all wet. Good night, Mother. Good night.
Welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about tales from the dark side created by Richard Rubenstein and George Romero. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about The Shrine, directed by Christopher Welch, written by Pamela Sargent and Jules Shelbo, with an original air date of February 9th, 1986.
So we're back with another spooky-ish episode?
I think it's pretty damn spooky.
Okay.
You don't think it's creepy?
Okay.
All right. I do.
I do.
I think it's man out on this one, but okay.
I know where you're coming from because
sure.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We always do, but to set it up, it's like
We get there eventually.
Yeah, I know. I guess you guys are not wrong. I'm just kind of thinking about the overall episode.
Yeah.
But
I should note, it is a slow eventually.
Yes.
Yes, it is a 22-minute slow eventually, yes.
This is
21
more,
minutes maybe.
This is more like a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
Supernatural thriller,
I would say.
But it also has to do with the existentialism and relationships between you and your parents and things like that.
There's a lot going on here.
It is actually like the subject matter is pretty heavy when you actually start picking it apart. You're right.
And then shifting it into it with a paranormal spin on it.
Which is always nice.
Which
we
is
always
great.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, there's some really fun stuff here, but I don't really want to get too deep into it till like the end.
Yep.
That way we can discuss it then.
Sure.
So, before we get started, Chris, you want to do that Fangoria synopsis for us, please?
Yeah. So our official synopsis from the Fangoria episode guide says Christine, a neurotic 28-year-old, returns home for the first time in 5 years to confront her mother. The prodigal daughter's worst fears are confirmed when she finds that a spectral moppet has moved into her room and taken over her mom's affections.
Spectral moppet's a weird way to put that.
Moppet. Do they
like
mean
Muppet?
To say Muppet? But then it's not really. I don't know what that
is. A moppet a thing? Is that like if we look up in the dictionary, is that like some kind of like haint or ghoul or something? Like a specific type?
Is that a poppet? Like
a haint is the in between area.
Right, yeah, yeah. Wow. The taint, yeah, wow. It's somewhere in between haunt and,
The word I would use is tulpa.
Tulpa more so,
Tulpa, and I'll get more into that as we talk about this episode.
So a moppet, actually, I did pull it up. It says a small, endearingly sweet child.
So that is what it is,
all right.
Yeah.
Replaced with a kid.
Spectral moppet, exactly.
Oh.
Why didn't they just say kid? Spectral child.
Because they're being flowery in their language.
They're trying to use
we had to look
words.
Up what it meant.
Actually, it's 6 years, not five.
We did the work of the comments section.
Yes,
so.
Well, there you go. So yeah, we get Colleen Gray in this episode, and she plays Cecilia Matthews, who is this mother, overbearing, question mark, maybe, sort of.
Checked out.
Definitely checked out.
Well, definitely now. Just real quick, she was a big TV actress. She's done a ton of stuff, but I just wanted to note that she was part of Alfred Hitchcock Presents, which is another anthology television show. So
usually it's just monsters episodes, and that's it.
Yeah. Lest we forget, there was not just one of these shows running at a time. This was a very popular genre, especially in the 80s. There was a lot happening, like you guys just said. I mean, we've mentioned it before, other shows that came later, like Masters of Horror, and was that the Steven Spielberg one, or there's another one even of that?
Amazing Stories.
Yep. There's so many anthology series.
Outer Limits,
yeah.
Twilight Zone.
Tales from the Crypt.
Night Gallery
yep.
is yeah. one I yeah. want to cover.
I wonder if she did all of them. Right, that's just, yeah. That was the point of bringing that up.
Every Twilight Zone reboot.
Yeah, she's on each one.
The 80s one. There's one with like the Korn intro song. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Like, or like Jonathan Davis of Korn did like the intro. Pretty much. Yeah. But just with like the eye and like the door in the background.
Oh, my God.
Trash.
Don't need that.
Yeah, we're good.
What the fuck?
Yeah, look it up.
I believe it. There's a clip going in. You know
and
there
I
is.
I think Forrest Whitaker did like, he was like the Rod Serling.
Exactly, he was.
Yeah.
The so 90s, when you hear Korn.
The 90s version, yeah.
You were about to enter a submitted place.
Submitting for your approval. Oh, yeah. Are You Afraid of the Dark? That's another one.
Yeah, yeah,
one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So we have this mother, and then we also have this daughter played by Lorna Luft. Her name is Christine or Chrissy. She was also part of an anthology television show, the 80s Twilight Zone. She was in a bunch of. So Christine hasn't been home in 6 years.
Wait for a second. Let's go back. You said she's 28.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, right.
Do you think she looks older or younger?
She's not 28.
Get no.
I mean,
like 32.
Right?
What do you think?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard to judge. Little,
I don't know.
Yeah.
She does look more like early 30s, but now you're kind of splitting hairs. I was kind of more shocked to hear she was 28 because the way they set this up, I just assumed she left after high school, but there was actually a few years before that she was still around, that she was just hanging out in this room with all this kiddie shit. Like that kind of confuses me.
I just mean, it's like they set it like in the thing, it's like she's 28. It's like, no, she's not. Get out of here.
I don't even know if they even say it in the actual episode.
I don't even know if that lines up. For like Sean just said, like after high school, between that time.
I guess 4 years of college you went away, maybe, but you're 18 and everyone's different. I guess some people keep their old shit forever.
Right. Well, it's
they're stuffed animals.
It's like Twilight Zone episodes you see where the guy's like 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a guy's like 25 and it looks like he's like 55.
Yeah.
Just, I guess it's a, you know, how that's
right. Makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's also like, you know, I forget if we were talking about this on the last episode or if it was off the air, but it's like they film so many of these fucking episodes. Sometimes it's like, well, we have a role. This person's good for it. Let's not overthink the semantics.
Yeah.
Right.
So Christine has come back after 6 years. Now, 6 years ago, she had what she calls a breakdown that she mentions, and she's kind of become estranged from her mother. The way that this is, I feel like it'd be beneficial for this episode specifically because there's a lot of visual storytelling in the way this kind of goes down. So if we kind of front load it with the problem, then we can kind of go through the episode. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
sure.
It does.
Does that make sense? Okay. So yeah. So she had a breakdown. She's been estranged from her mother for 6 years. And basically she was one of those trophy kids.
Well, that's fair to say.
A trophy kid?
Yeah,
she is a little bit.
She's not like a prize, but she's like the golden child in terms of like she's getting all the diplomas, she's getting straight A's, she's doing cheerleading, she's getting all the trophies, she's getting all the ribbons, the gold medals.
Yeah.
She's pleasing her parents and not caring about herself is the implication.
She's the homecoming queen, only 17.
Make
your
parents proud, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that I guess that was too much for her. Mm-hmm. And the pressure to be this great person in life, I guess. And then she broke and then she's become estranged from her mother. So fast forward, she's lost her husband or her boyfriend or whomever. She's outdoors. I don't think she's got a good living situation. Mm-hmm. So now she's coming back to kind of move in with her mom for a little while.
For an indistinguished amount of time. She's just like knocking on the door in the middle of the night. And mom's even like, what the fuck? Like, she expects her, but even still is like, what the fuck? She lets herself in. She's like, Mom, didn't you hear me yelling? She's like, I mean, I made tea. It's cold. Thanks for coming by after 6 years.
She's really snide about like
six fucking years.
Yeah, but she's really snide about like, oh, you're late.
Yeah.
The tea's cold because you're late. You're still, you know, I stayed up, but you're late anyway.
Like there's some deep-seated shit there is what you're saying. Yeah.
And you could feel it too because this whole scene is like just awkward as hell.
Yeah.
Just it's so uncomfortable. Man. It's like, are they supposed to be mother daughter? It's like, because this is like just uncomfortable.
It's like their first conversation, it feels like, ever.
There's no warm welcome. It's like, okay, you're here. Do you want this thing I made you? You want some milk or something? Okay, I'm going to bed. Bye.
Also, by the way, don't go in your bedroom. Nothing really to think about. I just sew in there. It's my sewing room.
Yeah, she said, I made up the guest room for you. And she's like, the guest room? She's like, I'm using your room for storage.
Yeah, it's like, why wouldn't I just go in my old room? It's storage now. It's like, don't bother. It's like, it's full of my old knitting stuff, whatever.
right off the bat, and I do appreciate Tails for doing this, kind of instantly throwing that carrot at us. We get this shot of her, like, seeing, like, okay, this is a little odd, as the camera pans to the bottom of the door frame that is now lighting up, and you're hearing a child saying, three blind mice, three blind... I'm like, what the fuck are we... Like, I guess they kind of hooked me on some level, but I'm like, what are we doing?
Well, it's also that thing where you got to tell the whole story in 22 minutes.
Yep.
And they do a pretty good job of, like, being able to build that tension, but they have to be like, okay, this is the fucking deal, basically.
Yeah, it's like not wasting any time. It's like they know they only have a limited amount of time. But also, too, right before, you know, the light turns on and under the door and you hear the singing, the, like, window upstairs is blown open.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, like, just wind coming through.
Yeah.
It's really, it's, like, made to point it out where it's, like, there's enough of, like, a scene around it where it's, like, oh, let me close that. Oh, and it's just kind of weird.
Is that, like, a weird, I don't know if this is what you're implying, Chris, but, like, is that supposed to be, like, the spirit or the Moppet that it's coming in, kind of? I mean, it's just creepy either way with the wind blowing through the hallway, but...
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what they're trying to imply, but it's like, why even bother having
Because the fact of the matter is, none of the windows are ever open when the wind blows.
Yeah.
That's the creepy part.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite gags. Yeah. It's just like from the I Give You a Million episode when dude, like, gets up and there's, like, a ghostly presence and the wind's blowing. He's like, I gotta shut that damn window!
That's
and
right.
It's closed.
There's nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I love
that. And right, he turns and the guy's there with the candle or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, his soul. He's like, you gotta give it back to me. Anyway, so she wakes up in the morning. Christine wakes up in the morning and she's just waking up and she's all groggy and she hears across the room or across the hallway in her old room this little girl, like, laughing and talking to her mother, and her mother's going, shh, quiet, quiet. And you're like, what the fuck?
She scurries out of the room with, like, the sewing needle and some yarn, like, oh, I was sewing, and then she, like, quickly closes the door, and her daughter's like, yeah, but I heard voices. Oh, it's the radio. I had the radio on.
She's being, like, real secretive about it, but she's still sort of, like, being distant to her daughter.
Yeah, I'm, like, sitting there like, okay, well, what could it possibly be? Fairies? I'm thinking ghosts again. You don't really know yet. It's some kind of little kid something.
She's knitting a giant version of her daughter or whatever.
Right, yeah, like, Wicker Man style.
Exactly, yeah.
And some Andre Toulon shit, dude. Yeah. Her mother's like, oh, I'm just knitting. I'm going to go make you breakfast. See ya. She ends up opening the door, and all her stuff is still there, and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's like she never left.
Yeah, but it's like, Mom said this was for storage.
There's no boxes or anything.
Yeah, there is not a thing out of place. All of her awards are there. All of her
photos,
affects, and her ribbons and her pictures and all that stuff of her, like, as, like, head of the cheerleading squad and the homecoming queen and the diplomas and the ribbons and all that shit's still there.
I thought it was funny. There's, like, a flag, like a pennant on the wall.
Yeah,
it just says Township High. Just like, might as well say, like, sports team.
Well, Township USA.
Most generic thing possible.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, she is kind of scanning everything. And now it's like, now I'm really confused. I'm as confused as the character, which is the point. And she's just like, huh, okay, let me put this picture down. She's like, you know, reminding herself back to old memories, good and bad. Again, maybe I'm hung up on this, but 18, still hanging out in this baby room, but whatever. And then she kind of joins her mother for breakfast, kind of confused, but not ready to really bring it up yet.
But also, we get another shot here of the wind blowing again through this window.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When it happens, it just happens again.
She ends up picking her diary up. And that like, triggers her along with all the other stuff in the room. But yeah, the wind blows behind her and the fucking window's closed. And you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So she goes downstairs for breakfast and she confronts her mom. And she's like, you know, what's up with the room? Like, you left all my stuff in there and what happened? I thought you were redoing the house. She's like, well, I'm going one room at a time, you know?
She just kind of just like passes, like plays it off.
Totally passive about it. Like, it's not weird. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, well, what about the voice I heard? Oh, just the radio.
Yeah, the radio.
Didn't sound like the radio, mom.
What is she up to?
You're talking to it, mom.
So Christine's friend Tony comes over and... Her short story is that, like, now she's selling, like, cosmetics or something, and she's, after high school or college, she, like, ended up moving in back with her parents who live across the street. And she could see her, in her old bedroom, she can see across the street into Christine's bedroom, and when they were kids, they used to, like, have messages and stuff across the street.
And this part's weird. This whole interaction is just sort of, like, eerie.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because at first, they're like, oh, I haven't seen you forever. They, like, pull each other's mullets.
Yeah.
It's like, that was kind of weird.
Hey, hey.
Like, pull your hair. But they're, then it just gets weird because she's like, hey, your mom's in your old room a lot.
She's like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, the light's on all the time, you know? And she's like, I don't know. I guess she's just, like, really sad.
Yeah, one thing that's just, like, it's getting real awkward and they're just, like, talking about her mom being in her room. Then it's like real uncomfortable. They're both awkward. They're just kind of like looking around the kitchen. Then they're like, hey, remember us being cheerleaders?
Like just trying to connect.
Out of nowhere.
Level.
Well, yeah, I think it's weird.
I think it's because
she wrote this tripe.
I think that is intentional because it's like, your mom's acting real weird. Remember when you had that breakdown?
Oh yeah.
And then it's like, remember cheerleading?
Yeah.
Remember how we used to have fun?
Remember that time we did the thing?
So she's like, oh, you got to come over tomorrow or whatever. Okay, bye.
But she's like, well, I can't come tonight because my brother's visiting and I haven't seen him in forever. And I thought for like, I kept thinking it even though I knew it wasn't him. I was like, is that Warner Shook? And I'm like, no, it's not Warner Shook, Sean. It's not Warner Shook. Is that Warner Shook? It kind of looks like him. Maybe I'm crazy.
It looks like a Shook. Talks like a Shook.
must be a Shook.
Yeah. His distant relative, obviously.
So Chuck is there, and mom like gives them cake and goes to bed or whatever.
So that cake looked really good, by
the way. Yeah, big piece of chocolate cake. Chuck is like, you know, she's really worried about you. And Christine's like, mom doesn't care about me, blah, blah, blah. She's like, ever since the breakdown, she never forgave me for that. And she's like, I'm not married. I don't have a kid. I don't have a big house. And she hates me for that. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, it's fine. Don't be worried about that.
Yeah. And then he says, and this is sort of where it sets up kind of what's to come the rest of the episode more than kind of what we've been seeing so far.
Yeah.
Is, you know, she's explaining like why her mom doesn't like her. Because she's like, I'm not married. Don't have a house. Don't have kids. And then he says, like, oh, well, that's okay. Everybody fails in some way.
Yeah. Like, thanks, bruv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking
nobody's perfect.
And it's like, that kind of points out, like, the way this family is.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's what you need to accomplish to be, like, set. Or, like, that's what...
I think a lot of families do that.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but I also kind of read it, because I felt the same way when they were saying that, what you guys just said. But also, like, she takes it in stride. Like, she doesn't take it that way at all. She's kind of like... almost like, yeah, no, you're right. Like, but I agree with you guys. I was like, oh, that was kind of a shitty way to put that, but maybe that's just how it gets through her skull. Is like, yeah, it just is what it is. Kind of rise above it, and she kind of hugs him and is like, thanks for the advice, bro. Like, appreciate it.
Yeah, he's trying to encourage her.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, there's still clearly something that we need to patch up with mom still.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, not everyone wants kids. It's like, and that's all right.
Yeah.
You know?
She's also down and out too because she like broke up. She tells Tony that she like broke up with her husband.
Like
or
just
boyfriend.
Didn't work out. Yeah.
And I'm a fucking loser, basically.
Yeah. So she's like being hard on herself, and you know, he's doing his best.
Yeah.
Not totally helping, I guess, but
his
trying to do the big brother thing. Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
So then it's another hard cut where she's coming out of the shower and she hears them talking again in the room. She hears the little girl voice and her mom. This is where she opens the door and sees the little girl on the bed with her mother, and they're like singing songs together, and she's just like having a fucking episode.
Well, she doesn't see the face yet. She sees the back of the head, and she's like, what the fuck?
And this is like, I do have to point out, this is like very effective. The way they shot this, the way, you know, the actress did this.
Yeah.
It's like, this is like, I like how they told
this
off.
It's creepy as hell, man.
Very creepy.
I think the cinematography on this episode in particular raises it up a level. Not to say the other episodes that isn't the case also, but you're right. Like, the way that this was laid out is very intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they use the budget really well in this one too. So this is the part where mom goes out for the day and she like goes to town or whatever. And Christine's like, okay, mom, see you later. She immediately rushes upstairs, goes into the room, and she's like, all right, where the fuck are you? She's like looking through the closet and like ripping the clothes out. And she's like, I know you're here. And she says, if you don't show yourself, I'm going to take mommy away from here.
Which is a very, like, strange thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like you know what's going on, but she's like having a another breakdown.
Right.
The kid shows up behind her. She goes, I won't let you.
Just a total brat.
And this fucking kid, and it's herself, a little version of herself, like as a kid, like sitting in this rocking chair behind her, and they start like talking to each other. And she's like, when you left, I came back. Mommy called out to me and I came to her.
Yeah,
and
mommy wanted
her.
Me, how she, I am.
She doesn't love you anymore. She loves me.
That is some deep-seated, dark shit.
Dude.
Like, it's played up a little. I mean, it's pretty dark still in the episode, but the way that they present this child, this Moppet, it's got kind of that mischievous, like, evil intent, but in the sense of, like, how do I word this? Like, a lot of times you see in fantasy in general, not necessarily always supernatural sense, but just kids in fantasy that are like, they're not bad. But they're also mischievous, so they might do a bad thing, even though they're not trying to be bad, in the context of, like, this thing wants mom. It's going to do whatever it wants to have mom. It doesn't see anything wrong with it wanting mom. So what's the big deal? Yeah. While this woman's just like, I want my fucking mother back. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
If that all made sense.
Well, now the Muppet's out of the bag, I guess.
in the rocking chair. What do you got, girl? What do you got?
With that being said, this is totally like a tulpa. And what a tulpa is, if you don't know what that is, it's like when you concentrate so hard on something, your thought gets form.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And like her sadness, mom's sadness and sorrow and regret and pain and anguish and stuff from losing her daughter or like having a fight with her daughter or whatever, and how her daughter wasn't who she thought she was going to turn out to be, kind of manifested itself. And she thought so hard and was hurt so much that she's manifested this being.
Yeah.
Which is creepy.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that motif in films, like especially you know, Trilogy of Terror 2 comes to mind with Bobby.
Yep, you're right. Also, Evil Coop in the new Twin Peaks.
Oh
yeah. Oh yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah. 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 And I think that's so cool. I mean, it's not necessarily like a demon or anything.
No.
But it can have malevolent intent,
yeah.
Which exactly. We kind of get here.
Especially as it goes on, there is more malevolent intent, for sure.
And this is great, too, because she, like, goes after her and she disappears, and then Christine's like, oh my god, I'm fucking cracking up. And then the fucking thought form starts throwing shit around the room, and there's wind blowing and stuff.
It's great. This whole episode just, like, takes this total turn here.
And
the
then,
mom comes back.
And then mom just comes in and walks in on her.
Yeah, and mom never really, up until the end of this episode, outside of the final thing that happens, is just acting like, this isn't happening, this isn't a thing, my daughter's just, oh, she's just back, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
I have nothing else going on, like, what are you so upset about? And then Christine's like, mom!
Yeah.
Like, literally, like you guys are saying, having another breakdown.
Yeah, yeah, and she's like, the mom is totally checked out.
Yeah.
And when she comes in the room, she's like not paying attention to Christine.
No.
It's like you have Christine and then Chrissy. I think that's what they call her, right?
Yes. Chrissy, yes.
The little girl.
Yeah.
So it's like you have like, you know, Christine's in the room, Chrissy. She's not even paying attention to like the adult version of her.
They're singing like Frère Jacques together.
Yeah. And this is, it's they keep singing.
And it keeps getting louder and louder. Yeah. And like even Christine like goes fucking crazy from it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not ribbons. I'm not diplomas. I'm not trophies. I'm a person.
Starts ripping everything off the
wall.
And
she's throwing fucking shit.
Knocks all the horses off the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, we're going to remodel this whole room. We're going to throw it all out. We're going to start over.
Well, while she's doing all that, mom is like droned out. Like you guys are saying, totally ignoring her, acting like she doesn't exist. Just like, yes, so, Christy.
She's just knitting. Frère Jacques.
And Christine's just like, I'm a human being and I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she sees little Chrissy in the mirror and she's like yelling at her. And she's like, what are you going to be? Miss Perfect. You're going to be Miss, what does she say? You're going to be Miss Know-It-All, Miss Popularity. Fuck you. And she like smashes the mirror with like her like younger visage in it. And it's like, it's pretty powerful shit.
Yeah, there's
man.
A lot. There's a lot here.
Yeah.
Which you think is like kind of going to be the end of it. But then, you know, you kind of get a little bit of a swerve here in the final moments where you're like, oh shit, the ghost or whatever you want to call it, the tulpa is like, all right, well, that was a nice try. Me and mom are getting the hell out of here. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, you're not.
She won't let go. The being like won't let go of her.
She's
mom.
Like, she's mine now. She loves me, not you.
That's the malevolent part of it. That's where that's like kind of like demon-esque. It's like not the same thing like you're saying, but it gives you those vibes.
Well, mom gets up and goes, Chrissy, we can go now. And she goes, yeah, and we'll never come back. And
then Christine. Total brat.
Yeah, Christine like has her last her last, you know, hurrah or her last, you know, stand here.
Yeah.
And then everything goes fucking crazy in the room.
That's right.
The windows start blowing out and everything's blowing over and it's like chaos in this room.
It's like Company of Wolves at the end there.
And she's and she's like, mom, you know, I love you. I need you.
That's the thing. I still need you.
I still need you. And then mom kind of like wakes up from this like hypnotized
state.
She
snaps out of it a little bit and like finally sees her. Which she didn't, like, this whole time. Yeah. Just, like, wasn't paying attention.
And then, like,
they, like, touch hands, and Chrissy's like, ah! like she's been, like, defeated or something, because mom faints. And there's, like,
there's a weird white light washing
like,
over
there's
everything.
There's a whole whiteout, dude, of, like, this little thought form or whatever, like, dissipating or dying or whatever.
And there's like some weird shots too of like the close up in the girl's eyes that just sit there for too long that just like fade to white.
And she's screaming the whole time.
Yeah. I get what they're going for, yeah. And I have more to say in my final thought, but this part in particular, I thought they were like, all right, this is a little too crazy. I understand they're trying to really make this moment very impactful with them touching hands and mom finally snaps out of it. But just this girl screaming, I think, does not, for me at least, achieve what they're going for. It just becomes silly to me at that point.
What's wrong with people screaming?
I just can't help but think of fucking Troll 2 instantly. And I know that's like a shitty example because that's like me going for like the most obvious answer in the world of, oh my God, the guy from Troll 2. But like, that's what pops in my head is just an overreaction to the point of stupidity.
Yeah. The Grandpa Seth moment.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's a little kid actor. It's fine. I'm overthinking it. I understand that, but it just took me out of it.
Well, with that being said, I mean, this last part where she's like holding her mom, I think is pretty heartfelt when she's like, you know, don't leave me.
Well, she thinks she's dying.
Yeah, and she like wakes up and she's like, I'm here. And that's how the episode ends. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty sweet.
And that's kind of it. It's like, that's kind of
the episode.
It's big build up at the end. Yeah. And, you know, nice happy ending, which we don't have a lot of. But, yeah, that's the episode.
Yeah. So, what do we think of this episode?
Sean, I want to hear your thoughts first.
I don't like this episode at all. This is a skipper. Really? I think the message of this episode is very impactful. It didn't speak to me personally, but I can understand like what they're trying to say, like the message overall. Like, it's kind of hitting you in the face. And anyone that can relate to that, I feel like this is really going to stick with you, especially this whole kind of like, I'm never good enough. And then mom like kind of needed to hear those words from her daughter that I need you, which is almost like another layer to this whole episode. We didn't even really talk about where mom this whole time, she really just wanted to hear that. And her daughter's been running away from her for 6 years, if not longer. So it kind of has a lot of like layers, honestly. So I'm kind of shocked I don't like this one because of all that. And even the supernatural elements, I think, are played really well. I don't know, maybe on a rewatch, I'll have a total flip of opinion on this. I just, for some reason, the acting, talking about it more, maybe I was overthinking it at the time. I just felt like it was really too over the top. But maybe that's just as I was in the moment thinking about it. As we're talking, I kind of don't exactly feel the same. But at the time, I was like, whoa, this woman's screaming, running out of the room. Maybe it is the appropriate reaction to what's happening to her. But I was just like, okay, this is a bit much. There's a lot to chew on this one. And maybe I didn't chew enough off. Maybe I was just like, all right, I want to get to the next one. This didn't do it for me. But it's hard to just, even though I just am contradicting myself now, but maybe this isn't a skipper, but for me it is. If that makes any sense.
In your opinion.
Yeah. But it's still good. Yeah. It's one of those rare cases where I think it's a good episode, but it didn't work for me, and that's why I'm skipping it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But I recommend this one. Yeah. Just for Sean, I'm like, one and done.
Yeah.
And like, there's a lot of episodes like that where it's like, you can appreciate them as like decently writ, you know, acted well and everything. But then it's like, if it doesn't speak to you personally, it's like, that's, you just don't like it.
I guess that's what it is.
There's no connection for you, and that's fine. That happens.
Right. And it's like, this one for me, it's like the way it starts, it's like, you know, a woman comes home to, you know, reunite with her estranged mother. Right there, I'm like, I'm good. I don't know if this is going to be for me.
Yeah.
Just too much drama for me, not enough like spooky atmosphere and just weird stuff happening. But the more that this episode progresses, the more I like it.
Mm.
By the end of it, I'm like, this is better than I expected. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it does take a while getting there. And I think there's it's a little hokey, especially in that, you know, the kitchen scene with the, you know, her friend where it's like, remember we were chilly? It's like that kind of stuff. It's like, that's where it sort of like loses me a bit. And I'm like, did I just skip this? But as we get into like, once the little girl's introduced, then I'm like, all right, we get the spooky atmosphere. We get all the weirdness going on. You know, the wind blowing and everything, all, you know, special effects and all that.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, here we go. But it's like, it almost gets where I want it to go and like gets weird enough. And it is a, you know, nice little spooky episode, but kind of same thing. It's like, it doesn't get all the way there, but then again, on the other hand, it's like, they can only do so much in the time that they have, the budget that they have.
I was just going to say
like,
that, yeah.
They're not going to be perfect episodes.
Yeah.
But that said, it's like, I can appreciate what it does. And it's like, my favorite ones are the atmospheric ones.
Mm-hmm.
I consider this to be one of those. Mm. So I like it.
Yeah. And I'll agree with you. It's almost, this one for me is almost in the same vein as like the New Man type of deal.
I could see that. Yeah. Like similar kind of style to them or aesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like a more like a psychologically driven type horror. You know, or thriller rather. I'm just going to flip what you said. I think they nail what they're looking to do in the amount of time that they have, because it's so finite and there's a lot of layers to this, which you know, even though some of it's a little hand-fisted, I think it kind of has to be just to get there. You know, true, what I mean? Yeah. Like, Tony is used as a device just to get the story shit out. Yeah, like, I haven't seen you in a while. Let's catch up kind
of exposition. By the way, your mom's been in your room.
Yeah. There's a little bit of that. But then it's also, like, a little bit more personal. Because, like, mom knows why Christine is there. But Tony doesn't know she's there.
Yeah.
Why are you here? Oh, well, I lost my boyfriend and I'm out of doors and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, Chuck is there to kind of solidify the other stuff that we've been talking about. And more... a little bit of the inside relationship between her and her mother without them kind of doing it, right?
Right, yeah.
And those things kind of need to be there, especially for a 22-minute runtime, you know? But I love this episode because I guess I'm going to kind of echo, would you say, a little bit. I like when they take very real problems. And, I mean, that's what I love about all types of horror is when they take real problems that we have or things that can be personified into monsters or supernatural things and kind of put that twist on them.
Give that nice little spark to it. Yeah,
because like they literally personified the void between her and her mother and replaced it with this spectral entity of her as a little girl.
Yeah.
Which I think is fucking great. And then you add the whole element of like the poltergeist kind of activity that comes along with that, which is kind of cool. And again, like I said before, I think it really works for this one because all the budget was used for all those like special things. It's not necessarily a monster, but like the windows breaking, the fan blowing all the shit all over the place, all the stuff flying all over. I think there's something very kinetic and raw about it, especially when she's like screaming at the end and when she's screaming at herself in the mirror and then breaking the mirror. That's like such a powerful scene for me. I really like this one a lot, and I think it hits what it needs to do. And aside from being a drama driven episode, it's got that good balance of drama and supernatural horror to it. Anyway.
Yeah. And it's like some of the best episodes we have here, like always do come like backlit with like a message.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, it's like, it's telling the story of like, you know, letting go and like confronting your past or like moving on from the past.
And being able to actually do that.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people like, don't get the chance to do.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it's like her, just the shot of her throwing the, you know, breaking the mirror with herself in the reflection. It's like, there you go. There's like your shot right there.
It's great.
Yeah. And it's also, again, like the mom also moving on. I mean, it's a little bit different of a path she has to go on, but it's actually both characters, mostly the daughter, but there's that little nugget by the end of that. Okay. Mom's also now moving on. And we never even find out what that accident was. Other than she had a mental breakdown. Was dad's death involved with that? Overthinking it again, Sean?
Right.
Sean, stop overthinking these fucking episodes. Just watch them.
No, but that's a good point to bring up.
Yeah, it's like a Friday, like New Blood sort of situation.
Yeah,
she has like psychic powers.
Yeah.
And drop dad in the lake.
For sure. Well, just to your point, when she reads that diary entry, she says, Mom bought me a new dress, but it was very expensive, but we're not going to tell daddy. So
there could have been
a divorce, or he could have passed away, or who knows what happened.
A lot of implied stuff, in which I think is exactly what they're going for, because they want people that are going to relate to this kind of you're talking about filling holes in a different sense, but also people just kind of like putting themselves in the character shoes, like through those little story branches. So even though, like I said, I didn't like it, I'm even saying, possibly skip it. I did say earlier that it's kind of genius at the same time, so it's very well put together overall.
There's little nuggets all over the place, and if you watch it a few times, which you said before, maybe watch it again and see how you feel about it.
I mean, it's happened on this show in the past, rewatching episodes, having a different opinion, and the same for movies in general, so I wouldn't be shocked to revisit this in a year and be like, huh, actually, I do like it, but you never know.
But yeah, with that being said, Chris, you got some Midnight Madness shows coming up, yeah?
Yeah, got some more Midnight Madness coming up. So follow me on Instagram on tape_hell, and you see what I'm up to at Midnight Madness. We got a lot of stuff coming up, so see what the next show is, and hope you can make it out.
Absolutely, man, and you're not going to want to miss this show. On Saturday, March 30th at 10 p.m., we have the one-year anniversary of Midnight Madness. So come on down and celebrate with The Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Suspiria, and Inferno. Mix and match your favorite movies. Do an Evil Dead 2 double feature. Do two of the Mothers. Or do an Evil Dead and Inferno and a Suspiria and Evil Dead 2. I mean, you could do whatever you want. It's going to be an absolute blast. And congratulations again, Chris, for celebrating your 1 year of Midnight Madness. And here's to a ton of more awesome shows. We'll see you there. Yeah, so that's The Shrine. Let us know what you think about this episode in the comments. And if you can like and share this video, we'd really appreciate it. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor, leave a 5-star review because it really helps the show. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.